This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, by the way, tomorrow the Steelers, and that'll wrap up the AFC North. And then I don't know where we're going next week. Going back to the NFC? I would say the East, but I don't know. It's up to Ron Culver. He's the one that decides it. By the way, Throwback Thursday today, 2008. We all kind of were gathering around our TVs watching Michael Phelps swim in the pool. Won the 400 in individual medley. One of 8 gold medals in that summer games. Outside of the Redeem Team, he was the dominating story coming out of the Beijing Olympics back in 2008. So that was happening on this date. It was kind of a fun time. Like, preseason football was going on, and I know I remember telling you I was at a Broncos game. Everybody stopped and watched the swimming, one of the events that was going on that particular summer. But that's our Throwback Thursday. The Cleveland Browns are the team that we have got on the schedule today. As I mentioned earlier, 7-10 last season. Deshaun Watson was not very good in the final 6 games of the year. They went 3-3. He threw just a handful of touchdowns, interceptions, had a terrible QBR, but they're going into the season now. He is the starter from going forward. No more waiting around off suspension. Scott Petra joins us on a Progressive guest line from the Chronicle Telegram. On our Progressive guest line, round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. How are you, Scott?
I'm good. How you doing?
Let's talk about last season real quick from the standpoint of, okay, look, the numbers weren't very good for Deshaun Watson, but my question is, was he a bad quarterback on an okay team? Was he a bad quarterback on a bad team? Like, how were the Browns by the time they got to Watson playing for them?
That's a good question. I mean, I think they were a pretty good team. I think there were playoff expectations when the season started. Jacoby Brissett played better than expected, and they still weren't able to win enough games. So it wasn't a great situation for Watson. They needed more help at receiver. They needed more help on defense. The defense really let them down last year. So it wasn't all Watson's fault that they went 3-3 when he returned, but he certainly did not play like the Deshaun Watson of old.
Was there anything that sort of gave people an indication like, all right, this is the future. Like, he could be really good. Like, he did one or two things that were good. Were there anything that stood out?
You know what? The game against Washington, and they play Washington tomorrow night in the preseason, but the game at Washington on New Year's Day, he threw 3 touchdown passes. They struggled a little bit early, and he came out in the second half and had a good third quarter that won the game for him. And I think that kind of crystallized, okay, when he plays at his best, this is what it looks like. There just wasn't enough of that.
Nick Chubb on this team, how much does this team run, and how much will this team run with Deshaun Watson fully there at quarterback?
Yeah, they're going to throw more, and I think they're going to throw more early in games. You don't pay a quarterback $230 million guaranteed and then make him not the focal point of the offense. So I think Chubb will have a slightly reduced role, but not significantly. They're still going to be, in my opinion, still going to be in the top 10 in the league in rushing attempts. If all goes to plan, they'll get a bunch of leads, unleash Myles Garrett in the defensive line, and hand off to Nick Chubb in the second half. So that's what they want to do. I just think how he gets to his 18 carries a game might be different and might be fewer in the first quarter and more in the fourth quarter.
How are the pieces looking offensively with Watson there at the center, but then how are the pieces around him, O-line, running back, wide receivers, all that?
Yeah, I mean, it looks good. They're bringing back the entire starting offensive line. They re-signed center Ethan Posick, who had a really good year last year in his first season starting with the Browns. So they're set at the offensive line. They got Nick Chubb, who we mentioned, who I think is the best running back in the league. David Njoku is pretty good at tight end. He's probably a top 10 tight end in the league. And they have Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, and Donovan Peoples-Jones at receiver. So
yeah, they
don't have a ton of receiver depth, but I think the top of the depth chart is really solid.
Now, defensively, Myles Garrett, who you mentioned, and then what else is about the defense that does need to get better? Did they fill any gaps there?
Yeah, I mean, the defense, the offseason was all about improving the defense, and it started with hiring defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz, right? He's been in the league for a long time. I think this is his 15th year as a coordinator. He's head coach for 5 years with the Lions. He should be an upgrade by himself, but in addition to that, they traded for Za'Darius Smith. He's going to be a bookend to Myles Garrett. They signed Dalvin Tomlinson to be their number one D tackle. They signed Obo Okoronkwo to be, when they signed him, they thought he'd be the second end, but then they traded for Smith, so he wound up being the third end. So they feel like they have some depth. They replaced John Johnson the third at safety with Juan Thornhill. Whether that's an upgrade or not, we'll find out. They think it is. So they expect the defense to make a huge jump from where it was last year.
Yeah, it's funny with some fans. They get into the numbers, and they want to know what the cap is going to look like, and they want to know who's paying what, and what does that mean to get this player or that player. But in this case, with Watson and his contract, how is it going over where this is a desperate franchise that's been looking for its franchise quarterback since it came back into the league, and yet it's 230 guaranteed, it's 5 years, and it could cripple the team if it doesn't work out?
Yeah, I think that's all accurate, but they felt like, I mean, the guys running this team are smart. Not that every GM and front office is it, but we got Harvard guys running this team, right? So they knew what the ramifications of that contract would be, and they felt it was worth it to have what they felt was a franchise quarterback. And they didn't think Baker Mayfield was good enough, so they went all in on Deshaun Watson, despite the contract, despite three first-round draft picks, and despite all the off-field stuff that Watson brought with him. So I think they're prepared to handle salary cap ramifications. You know, they juggled it this year so they could create room. I think they believe they can do that down the road. And as long as they're winning, you can always bump it down the road, right? It will come. There's going to come a time, we see with the Rams, when you're going to have to cut guys, right? And you can't make it work. But they think as long as this window is open, they can make salary cap work.
I'm not trying to compare Watson to other quarterbacks that have moved on to other teams like Brady and Rodgers, but there is a different feeling when you feel like that position is solid. You're seeing it with the Jets now. You saw it with the Buccaneers. Yeah. But how has Watson been received? Are there players on the team that are saying, look, I don't want to get into his personal stuff. I don't want to get into the investigation. Just football-wise, he's been a great addition. Or what is the overall feeling?
Yeah, I mean, last year was dominated, especially offseason and preseason, by the sexual misconduct allegations, right? And then the suspension. This year, it's pretty much all about football. And that's a welcome change for him. It's a welcome change for the team. They feel he's in a good space. He says he's in a good headspace. You know, his teammates saw what he did in Houston. They see a guy that was a three-time Pro Bowler and led the league in passing. And you see signs of that in practice and in training camp. The question, the huge question facing this team is, can he get back to that level of play in the regular season? If he does, this team's going to contend. If he doesn't, they're going to have a really hard time contending.
How much confidence is there with Kevin Stefanski now that he's been given this? How much of the confidence they have that he's the guy that can take it to where it needs to go?
Well, I believe ownership has a lot of confidence in him. The fan base has less confidence. You know, he was coach of the year as a first-year coach in 2020. They went to the playoffs, ended a long playoff drought, and then they've missed the playoffs the last 2 years with high expectations. Now, there's certainly extenuating circumstances. I do not blame Stefanski for all of that, but this is a big year for him. He's in the fourth year, not, you know, the Haslams, the owners, usually they've never had a coach come into his fourth season, so this is, you know, he's kind of breaking new ground there. And I think there's a lot of pressure on him, number one, to win, but number two, which goes hand-in-hand with the winning, is to figure out the best way to use Watson, right? He's reshaped his offense. He's going to try to put the focus on him. There's going to be more RPOs, more zone reads, more options, more quarterback runs, more shotgun. And that's not how his offense was the first 3 years. And it's going to be interesting to see if he can make that work and really get the best out of Watson.
How much is there a feeling of, okay, there might be some continuity here. We have a quarterback we're going to be invested in for a long time. We've got a coach going in this fourth year. We don't have that here in Cleveland since it came back.
Yeah, there certainly is that feeling, and that's why there's optimism, right? Now, the optimism is always guarded around here, and there's good reasons for that. But within the organization, yeah, there's optimism. Hey, they have a smart coach. There is that continuity, like you mentioned. They have this quarterback who's going to start from day one and not show up with six games left and try to rescue the season. They have Pro Bowlers across the roster, right? Like, there's a lot of reason to think this team can be good. They just have to go out and be good.
I know you got to get off to a good start, especially in the AFC. This is a very difficult. I mean, there's three divisional opponents in the first 4 weeks with Tennessee, which we're still wondering if they're going to come back.
Yep.
It's a tough way to start the year.
Well, it is. And, you know, they're trying not to put too much emphasis on it because, you know, let's say you go 1-3, you can't say the season's over.
Right.
Having said that, you have a chance to get off to a great start in the division,
sure,
right? They've never won the AFC North. And they have three AFC North games within the first four. Two of them are at home. The other one's a Monday night in Pittsburgh. If you can get off to a start, you know, if you go 2-1 in the division, beat the Titans, they have an early bye week. And I think the positive vibes and the momentum could really take off. If they start 1-3, 0-4, you know, it's hard to envision them bouncing back from that. The schedule stays hard, you know, and then you could have the kind of talk about, hey, you know, what is there a coaching change, that type of thing, right? Like, that's a worst-case scenario.
Scott Petra again, Chronicle-Telegram in Cleveland on the Browns, helping us with our AFC North previews. Thank you so much, Scott. Hope to catch up with you soon, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right, we'll continue. It's a wrap up this hour. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.